Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 19 members present.
Please stand for the invocation by our chaplain, Major Nyla Fankhauser from the Salvation Army.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, first I want to pray for some young people. Do you know young people who are injured seriously in a car accident over the weekend? I pray, Father, that you would be very close to them. I pray that you will be with the doctors and the nurses and those attending to their needs. I pray that you'll be with their families. Lord, we're grateful for your many blessings. We thank you for the blessing of living in this free country governed by the people. May we never take this for granted. We thank you for the privilege of living in this state of Alaska, truly the great land. These freedoms and privileges do not come without responsibility. I thank you today for the senators gathered here who have taken up their responsibility by answering the call to service. I pray your blessing upon each one. Give them your guidance and wisdom for the task at hand. As each contributes, help him to be open and to listen to the needs of the other. In that way, work together for the common good of our people. May all that transpires within these chambers today be only for good and only for the betterment of our great state and her people. In all things, your will be done. Amen.
Senator Taylor, would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 104th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the journals be approved as certified by the Secretary.
Without objection, the journals will be approved as certified. Senator Hoffman. Without objection, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Davis be shown as excused today through this evening plain time on medical reasons. Thank you.
Without objection, Senator Davis will be shown as excused today. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Do we have any guests for introduction? Seeing none, messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
There are no messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 168, Cigarette Sale Distribution, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. Previous. Zero on fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 9, Finance Amended, Home Inspectors, Contractors, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute, previous fiscal and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, signing no recommendation, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Hoffman, Olson, Bundy, signing do not pass, Senator Taylor. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees.
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills.
Brings us down to the daily calendar.
House Bill number 34 by Representatives Holm, Lincoln, Lynn. An act relating to negotiated regulation making and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Gary Stevens, chair, Senators Cowdery, Dyson. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Seekins, chair, Senators Ellis, French, Terrio. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed in final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 34 will be carried forward to our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 59, Finance Amended by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the evaluation and cleanup of sites where certain controlled substances may have been manufactured or stored and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill. New fiscal note, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Seekins, chair, Senators Ellis, French, Ogun, signing no recommendation, Senator Terrio. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute, previous fiscal and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Hoffman, Bundy, Ben Stevens, Taylor. There is a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Wilken.
Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the bill will be advanced to third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 59, Finance, an act relating to the evaluation and cleanup of sites where certain controlled substances may have been manufactured or stored and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Taylor.
Yeah, briefly, this is a matter that has been around now for about 3 years. I had the opportunity to work on it with the original sponsor last year and worked extensively on trying to bring this bill to the floor with significant modification. I think that most of the work that has been done in the interim and during this last session is very good, and that we have a bill before us now that I certainly endorse. It's a reflection, I guess, on our times, and a sad one. That we have so many of these meth labs popping up all over the state, and that's the primary culprit that we're trying to address here. These things are terribly dangerous. They have the potential of exploding and killing all kinds of people. People are doing these activities in apartment units. They're doing them in trailer houses. They're doing them in mobile units, even, that are moving around our communities. But where they're doing it in a fixed location where other people are adjacent owners, or people may, after one of these operations has moved out, move back in there with their family and not know that all these chemicals are there or are within the premises. It's a significant health hazard to those people, and it's a significant danger to that community. And I really applaud my colleague from Anchorage for the amount of time and effort that she has put in on this bill, and I hope she will further clarify for us today what's within it. I think the bill is a good one, and it's a sad comment on our times that we should have to give notification to people who might be renting a place that this has occurred on those premises. It's a sad comment that landlords are now going to be burdened with it, but there is a public health hazard here and one that requires our attention. I think this bill does a good job of bringing it to our attention. Thank you.
Further debate. Senator Ogden.
Thank you. I'd like to declare my conflict. I have rental property that I might be held liable for under this bill, and I won't ask to be excused from voting because I'm going to vote the right way on this. But I would like to say it's tough sometimes being a landlord to know what's going on in your property all the time. It's one of the responsibilities, but there's your tenants have certain privacy rights, and so I guess it's just incumbent upon people, those of us that own property, that we monitor this closely, and prompts me that I'm going to take another look at the statutes to see what property owners what their rights are as far as controlling what goes on in their property. It's certainly a major liability when one of these places moves in. I mean, these are toxic waste dumps when they're done, and it could render somebody's property literally valueless. But anyway, I'll be voting for the bill. I did want to declare my conflict.
Do we have further debate? Senator French.
Like the senator from Palmer, I own rental property in Anchorage. I'm declaring a conflict. However, I'm not being asked to be excused from voting. The way to make sure you don't rent your property to someone who's going to do something like this is to screen them very, very carefully.
Senator Cowder, brief at ease. Would the Senate come back to order? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move to be a cross-sponsor of HB 59.
Senator Guess has moved and asked unanimous consent to be a cross-sponsor, along with Senators Dyson, Gary Stevens, Seekins, Wagner, Lincoln, French, Ellis, Elton, Taylor, Ben Stevens, Cowdery, and Wilken. So those can be shown as cross-sponsors. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will answer any questions on this bill. I know it's a complex bill. I think I counted it's been through 12 committees between last year and this year. I did want to, and the crux of it is so we know when someone reoccupies either a house or an apartment or a hotel room, if it was, did have an illegal lab before, that it was properly cleaned up. I think it's a very good piece of legislation. I think probably the thing that made it the best piece of legislation is every committee it went through and asked very good questions and became better. It is a product of good committee work, both last year and this year. My friend from Ketchikan did a lot of work on it. Mr. President, you asked good questions. My friend from South Anchorage behind me asked good questions. And it became a better bill through the committee process. And I'd like to thank the committee members in this body and the other body for that, and the representative from Fairbanks, who had a great interest because of the problems in his area on moving this forward. Thank you.
Senator Cowdery?
Yes, I'd like to also declare a conflict, but I'm going to be voting for the bill. As the previous speaker said, that we worked on this in state affairs, and it's a good bill. Something should be passed.
Do we have further debate? Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill did come before the Judiciary Committee, and one thing that really impressed me in the process was the way that the senator from Anchorage worked with the representative from Fairbanks, and that these two individuals did their dead level best to get this vehicle to both this body and the other body, and without regard as to who took the credit, but simply to look out for the best interests of the people of the state of Alaska, and I would really commend her for that.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 59 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 18 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 59 Finance has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
CS for House Bill number 212, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to trusts, including trust protectors, trustee advisors, transfers of property and trust, and transfers of trust interests, and to creditors' claims against property subject to a power of appointment. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Seekins, Chair, Senators Terrio, Ogun. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered gross, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 212 will be carried forward to our next calendar. Senator Taylor.
Is House Bill 212 available for cross-sponsorship?
I believe it is.
I would move that I be added as a cross-sponsor.
Senator Taylor has asked to be shown as a cross-sponsor along with Senator Seekins. That will appear on our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 249, Judiciary amended, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the award of costs and attorney fees to defendants under court rule in civil actions brought under monopoly and restraint of trade statutes and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Seekins, Chair. Signing no recommendation, Senators French, Ogun. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered a gross, advanced third reading and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 249 will be carried forward. We'll carry forward to our next calendar.
CS for Senate Bill number 63, State Affairs, an act relating to transition provisions related to municipal mergers, consolidations, dissolutions, reclassifications, annexations, detachments, and incorporations, and relating to municipal property taxation in annexed, detached, and newly incorporated areas.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 63 will take care of a glitch that exists in the current statutes. Last year, when the Homer annexation petition was voted on and approved by the Boundary Commission, it left one question, one question went begging, and that's when exactly can they begin taxing the people that were incorporated into the city of Homer city limits. And this bill clears that up. And each person has on their desk a copy of a letter from the local boundary commission. And just read the first two brief paragraphs. It says, "Dear Senator Wagner, thank you for your leadership in promoting CSSB 63. The bill has the unqualified endorsement of the local boundary commission. Fundamental purpose of CSSB 63 is to eliminate longstanding ambiguities in existing law regarding new incorporated, annexed, and detached properties that are subject to municipal property tax." I'd ask for a yes vote.
Do we have any further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 63 State Affairs pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 18 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 63 State Affairs has passed the Senate.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 127, State Affairs, an act relating to roadside memorials within the right-of-way of a state highway.
We are in third reading. Senator Lincoln. Brief at ease. Will the Senate come back to order? We are in third reading. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for purposes of an amendment, and that being amendment number one.
Without objection, we will go back to second reading.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move amendment number one and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection.
Thank you. Mr. President, we heard this in one of the committees that I participated on and did have an amendment that was not this amendment, but another amendment that was offered and adopted. But in looking at, Mr. President, all of the deaths that occur, unfortunately, in or reasonably near a right-of-way, there we are leaving out a group of folks that I would like for this body to consider. And unfortunately, we do have incidences where we had I believe it was a trooper that was killed, not as a result of a traffic accident, but did occur on a roadway. We have had a number of bodies that have been discovered on the right-of-way that have been murdered. And I know that families over and again will put flowers at the place of where either the traffic accident or the crime or the body was found. And Mr. President, I know that I, for one, I'm not distracted by those memorials that are set up on the roadside, but I pause to think about that person that lost their life there or as a result of an accident. And so I think that we have left out a group, a small group, but a group of folks that have lost their lives either in that right-of-way, and family members would like to have a little memorial placed there as well with flowers. And it states what type of memorials can be placed there. But, Mr. President, as it is written now, it just says as who died as a result of a traffic accident. And so it would open it up for the other family members to memorialize their loved ones. And there might be those that are here on the floor that haven't heard this in committee that are saying, well, in their mind that this can be done anyway. Well, as the bill is currently written, the DOT requires people to inform the department of their memorial and provide the necessary information. So automatically the department would say, no, you don't meet that criteria and you cannot put up a memorial. So I don't think we're talking about hundreds or thousands more being placed along the roadside, but I think that we should consider those who have lost their loved ones in that particular areas we're talking about, but not as a result of a traffic accident. I urge a yes vote on amendment number one. Thank you.
Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you'll notice on line 8, this bill is restricted today to death as a result of a traffic accident. And the intent of the bill is to remind drivers and passengers of the results of perhaps poor choices when you're driving automobiles or vehicles of some sort, and the death can indeed occur, and certainly memorializes that particular person or persons. But it does so in a way that ties itself to traffic accidents. While I think that the Senator from Rampart's amendment is well-intentioned, I think it goes far beyond the scope of the bill. And while we want to remember those people, there are ways to do that. But I don't think, I think by expanding it beyond traffic accidents, we're just going to be reminded of death. And I don't see any public purpose for that. So I would encourage a no vote on the amendment.
Do we have further debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before the body is Senator, Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I just have to, the question that arises with me is what's the harm? And I know the last speaker may not have intended it, but we're remembering the folks who've died and are victims of either traffic accidents or, with this amendment, victims of a terrible crime. That is something worth remembering, those victims. So I don't make a big distinction between someone killed in a traffic accident or someone who was, it's a sacred spot to members of those families when a body is dumped by the roadside or a trooper is shot and murdered in the line of duty. Those incidents should be memorialized, just like the results of traffic accidents. I see no harm in this amendment and wish we would overcome some sort of narrow view about just what's in the bill at the moment, and think about doing the right thing.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
10 yeas, 9 nays.
So the amendment is passed. Brings us back to third reading. Senator Taylor.
I guess I just had a question that might lead to an amendment. I'm sorry, I said I had a question that might lead to an amendment. It appears as though these memorials can just be created to the spontaneous. They just, if someone wishes to, they can go out and create a memorial along a roadside. They then, after creating it, within 7 days of placement of the memorial, they have to notify the department and provide a contact phone number or contact information is what it specifically says. I just wondered, is there any kind of permit that is contemplated for these? And what is the duration of the permit? It appears at this juncture that the memorial will continue to stay there until literally the road gets changed, or for some other reason that the department feels it's necessary that it would need to be changed, relocated, or removed. Was it contemplated that regulations would take care of the day-to-day questions of permitting and how long the permit is good for? Or is really the intent that there be no permit required and that they're good forever until the state decides to change the roadway? If somebody could answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, a similar question, if I might, so that the person carrying the bill can address both of them at once. When I looked at the word temporary, I was wondering about a definition. Is temporary referring to the materials they're constructed from, wood, plastic versus concrete, or is it temporary referring to a period of time? And if that is a period of time, was there a contemplated length for that period of time? Thank you.
Senator Wilken.
Mr. President, regarding permitting or that type of thing, there's no legislation doesn't contemplate that, there would be no permit required. And within the 7 days of placement, they would have to contact the department. And there are certain specifications. Temporary would mean it can't be permanently affixed to any sort of permanent roadway sign or something like that. Can't be placed in concrete, so that it could be removed without any demolition, significant demolition. You can't have any political or commercial message on the memorial. Can't have any reflective or distractive materials. And it cannot interfere with the highway use, safety, construction, or maintenance of the highway because it is within the right-of-way of the highway. I think that answers the questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any further debate on third reading? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Carter. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, tally the roll.
13 yeas, 5 nays.
So by a vote of 13 yeas to 5 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate, has passed the Senate. Senator Seekins.
Can I have brief at ease, please?
Brief at ease. Senate, come back to order.
CS for House Bill number 146, Hess, an act repealing the termination date of certain provisions that require the reporting of Social Security numbers and automated data matching with financial institutions for child support enforcement purposes relating to Social Security numbers on applications for commercial fishing licenses and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Bundy.
Yes, Mr. President. This bill basically repeals the sunset of the existing legislation that provides the reporting of the Social Security numbers. Federal law requires all states to collect and use these to maximize child support payments. This bill also allows banking institutions to be free of the possibility of suit by disclosing information on child support collection. Because of this current legislation, the current statutes have allowed the increase in child support collections by 33%, up to $95 million. This bill also clarifies that both residents and non-residents, when they apply for commercial fishing license, need to disclose their Social Security numbers, so that that information can be used for the Child Support Enforcement Division collecting child support. If this bill is not passed, Alaska will be out of compliance with federal law. This is approximately $75 million in federal aid that would go to assisting Alaska's children.
Do we have further debate? Senator, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the comments about the sanctions the federal government would impose and the loss of monies if we were not to pass this legislation into law. I just want to note that this is a subject that has come up a number of times, and former Senator Rick Alford was usually involved in the middle of this legislation, hoping to see child support enforcement work to the benefit of young Alaskans, but also to strike the appropriate balance with privacy of our individual citizens. And I know there are folks who've in fact contacted me over the years who believe, based on a religious conviction, that Social Security numbers are a very dangerous thing, that they're the mark of the beast and a way for the federal government to track its citizens. It ties into religious beliefs and the Book of Revelations and other things that people hold to be very true. There are other Alaskans that have, based on a religious conviction, have great pause about Social Security number collection in the federal government, but it's just a general basic Alaskan value of the right to privacy. So there are some competing values that we face in consideration of this legislation today. I plan to vote in favor of the legislation, but I always do have a bit of resentment about orders from the federal government, and do want to make sure that we remain ever vigilant about Alaskans' cherished right to privacy, and that the information we provide is the minimum necessary to get the job done in an efficient way for the benefit of those children and others, because the right to privacy is right in the Alaska Constitution. As we know, that's unique, or somewhat unique among the states. It's something of which I'm very proud, and Alaskans take very seriously their right to privacy. So giving up your Social Security number on these government forms is something that we should be very careful about. And in the age of identity theft and misuse by government officials of this very personal private information that is really the key to your personal identity, as the individuals relate to their government, we should just be very mindful of the high stakes involved here. I expect we will do the right thing in terms of child support enforcement, but I just wanted to raise the issue of privacy and respect for different people's feelings about providing their Social Security number, the key to their private identity and personal identity, to the government. We should make sure the government power is controlled and restrained, and that the government only has the minimal amount of information about each of us that is required.
Do we have further debate? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I want to identify with the remarks of the previous speaker. When the Social Security Act was put into law, I think 70 years ago, we were all, the promise was that these numbers would be only used for that purpose. We have certainly seen mission creep. I think the privacy issue is a very valid one. I will vote against the universal collecting of DNA, and I will vote today against this further kind of government, universal government stamp of approval and the just further distribution of those numbers. Thank you.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of remarks to respond to the concerns about privacy and the I think I'm sure the body that CSED is does take their responsibility and the privacy of individuals very, very seriously. Each employee is giving a very thorough briefing on confidentiality, required to sign a confidentiality agreement. Only division personnel who are working on a particular case have access to any computer screen that would display a Social Security number. They're prohibited from viewing cases they're not assigned to. Social Security numbers are removed from all forms and letters sent to parties outside the agency, except when it's absolutely required to conduct business. Social Security numbers need to appear on wage withholding orders so employers can positively identify an individual. The sword cuts both ways. If we don't want to have innocent victims created without a very absolute and positive form of identification, and the Social Security number allows that. Anytime the division is required to release information, all confidential information, including Social Security numbers, is redacted from that information. I know in my time here, we have had a list of 100 most wanted, if you will, in CSED. People who are in excess of $100,000 in arrears of child support. And I think that this fairly balances the concerns of that those have, some folks have about their privacy versus the needs of children of Alaska.
Thank you. Any further debate? Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you. You know, if you wrap a good enough cause around it, and you impose a federal mandate on top of it, we have a tendency to give away most of our rights. I've watched us do it over the years, whether it was DOT coming in telling us, oh, we're going to lose $15 million, or if we don't impose helmet laws. We're going to lose X amount of millions if we don't impose a 55-mile speed limit law. Child support indicating to us we're going to lose $75 million if we don't impose this additional information-gathering device on the people of the state of Alaska and utilize the Social Security number for a purpose for which it was never intended. And why are we doing this? Well, we're doing it because it's a good cause. Collecting back child support is a wonderful cause. It helps children. It helps single parents that are trying to support those children. It's something that we've invested a lot of time and effort in, the collection of those funds over the years. And we should have no objection to that. And I certainly don't. I have consistently supported those efforts. However, we're taking that one additional step. It's a little one, probably doesn't mean much to most people out there today, because this legislature has already granted the use of Social Security numbers by almost everybody else in the state. There's only one or two small groups of people that are still, because of our laws and because of concerns some of us have expressed in this body and the other, there's one small group of people that are not within the big catch area, the big netting of all of our people. And so this is a kind of a final last step. I think many of us who resisted this legislation in the past knew that sooner or later the federal government would show up with a big hammer and say, we're going to take all the money away if you don't do this. And you have to kind of ask yourself whenever that occurs, why does the federal government do it that way? Why don't they just pass a law within the authority of the United States Congress and under the authority of the United States Constitution and do it themselves? Because they can't. They can't. Not legally authorized. So what do? They hang a big chunk of money on it, and then they tell the states, you got to do this even though we can't enforce this one against you, because we're going to withhold the money if you don't. And we end up then with the security blanket that we're offered on this is that all of our state employees are good people, and they are. I think they're wonderful people over there at Child Support, but they're all going to be kind of trained, and they keep everything really secret and confidential and private. Well, you know, it was only 1996 when we discovered that we had 46 state employees who were sworn on oath, who were probably committing a felony when they did it, but 46 of those people went into the state computer system called APSIN, the Alaska Public Safety Information Network. They violated their oaths of office after a cursory, at best, and I'm being generous using that word, after a cursory review by that administration of those activities. 17 of those employees were actually referred for prosecution to the Attorney General's office. And none of those people were prosecuted, and I submit it's because of a political situation that was ongoing at the time. It would have been dangerous politically for some people, so those people weren't prosecuted. But is it my experience, the history of this state will clearly reflect that activity took place. That shouldn't give you a lot of comfort today, folks, in saying, yeah, let's just increase the expansion of the misuse of the Social Security numbering system for this purpose. But as I said, wrap a good cause around it, throw $75 million of federal mandate at it, and it's really tough to resist. I've been consistently trying to resist, and I hope I've been consistent in that effort for many years. I will continue to do that today. I am concerned about this matter, wishing only that we could go back and address really substantive misuse of this number. This little piece of legislation will not significantly impact that. I know that. And to that extent, my vote is more of a gesture, I suppose, of continuing consistent resistance to this phenomenon than having much meaningful effect. I believe we do have to pass something like this, or we're going to lose a significant amount of funding. I'm just not willing to participate further in that effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Committee Substitute for House Bill 146 Hess pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 5 nays.
By a vote of 12 yeas, 5 nays, Committee substitute for House Bill 146 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move the effective date clause.
The effective date clause has been moved. Lacking the number of votes, we do need to take this to a vote. Any debate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Seekins, we're voting. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
So the effective date clause has passed. We have a brief at ease. I'm going to come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 127.
Reconsideration has been given on 127. Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. President. Moving to ask unanimous consent, we return to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll go back up to introduction of guests.
Mr. President, I have the pleasure of noticing a longtime friend in the Ziegler Gallery. He's Jim Hayes. He was on the basketball team that I played on in the early in Lathrop, and he was my favorite player because he always passed me the ball. And since that time, he's gone on to serve the city of Fairbanks on the Public Utility Board, been elected to the school board, been elected to the city council, served as 9-year mayor of the city of Fairbanks, and now is one of our new regents. So it's great to have Jim back back in Juneau. I'd ask that the Senate, please welcome him back to Juneau.
I think we are done with the daily calendar. There are no citations today. Brings us down to unfinished business. Do we have unfinished business? Seeing none, do we have announcements? Any announcements? Seeing none, special orders. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Request permission to speak on DFYS and the audit.
Without objection, DFYS and the audit.
I think most of you received a copy of the audit. Was done on DFYS's and travel policy. And if you read it through and don't pay attention to the headlines, it was a pretty fair audit. And I just want to tell you that in the years that I worked very close with that organization, last 6 years, there was internal recognition that a lot of money was being wasted on travel. But not all the fault was the DFYS folks. There's a propensity for bureaucracies to want to be very careful and keep people from making mistakes. And one of the ways that foolish bureaucracies, including most of the ones I'm familiar with, do that is to have an increasing hierarchy of permissions and authorizations on many things, including expenditures and travel. And the state's authorization procedures have become so cumbersome that in years past, DFYS was unable most of the time to get all the authorizations necessary for people to travel, both foster parents, guardians, and workers. It took so long to get the authorization that they weren't able to get the very kind of travel discounts that most of you and your staff very cleverly and very responsibly go after. So, you know, I started hounding the administration about it. DFYS had, and I hope that the changes will be made and that all of us will be mindful of that the way to have responsible public servants is to get good people and trust them rather than having multiple layers of authorizations that often make it so awkward for a group to do anything that they can't do the simple things like take advantage of travel discounts. Anyways, for those of you who didn't read all of the audit, I would like to just remind you that most of the fault wasn't the frontline workers at DFYS. Most of it was, I think, foolish administrative procedures. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have other special orders? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special privilege of the floor to discuss a very busy weekend.
Without objection, a busy weekend.
Thank you, Mr. President. things were really going on in my district this past weekend. In addition to this annual spring cleanup and creek cleanup operations, there were two meetings that I wanted to bring to people's attention. One was of the board of the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. I was asked recently to join that board, and we're preparing for a major capital campaign for a replacement for our facility. The Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center is the first sliding scale fee-for-service health clinic in the state. There are now 20 of them. 19 others have joined the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center model across the state, and that's a good thing. And those folks, I was just so impressed with the people who were getting together on a sunny Saturday to work on this capital campaign and a whole visioning process for dealing with the unserved and the underserved folks in terms of basic health coverage in our community. The other thing of note was at my neighborhood school in downtown Anchorage of Fairview Elementary, there was an education summit, and there were folks of just every political persuasion and every ethnic minority represented at my neighborhood school in a community council-sponsored education summit. Everything from parental involvement to language translation to mentoring, school business partnerships, all of the plus all the ramifications of No Child Left Behind were discussed that day, with just a lot of folks in the community coming together to try and do the most with the resources available to them, and to have a real system of accountability in place to make sure that truly no child is left behind. So between the cleanup, the health center, and the upbeat mood too, Mr. President, there's an optimistic sense among people in my district and my community, and people are really pulling together, and I was very gratified to see that on a busy weekend.
Thank you. Any other special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Move the Senate stand in adjournment till 11 a.m. Tuesday, May the 6th.
11 a.m. on Tuesday. Please leave your packets on your desk.